Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Out with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. Amazing. When you really see, hear what happened when the Lord called this man by the name of Lazarus to come forth, to remind you that he was calling someone who was dead. He was calling someone who was decayed by now after 4 days. His body was decayed. He was calling one and raising him physically from death. I'm reading this verse again, verse 43. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead. Look how clearly the scripture is clearly telling us. He that was dead came forth. He that was dead came forth. Now that teaches us an amazing lesson, my dear brothers and sisters. There are many, many spiritual lessons that we can learn from these passages here, especially from John 11, the resurrection of Lazarus. He that was dead came forth. Now, I want to make for a moment an application before we're going to move along here in this passage to remind you that the Lord Jesus said of himself in John 5, in verse 28 and 29, he said, Marvel not at this. For the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. In other words, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is the one that is the one who is the resurrection and the life. In the same John 5 and verse 24, we read, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but pass from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live, for as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment, also because he is the Son of Man. So notice what we find out, that when he gave the word, Eliezer, come forth, Eliezer, who was dead, came forth. Imagine, who has the power to give life to one that his body is in the grave? He, notice that, he that was dead came forth. He's teaching us tremendous lessons. To remind you, my dear friends, that the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, who is God the Son, he has authority over everything. He has authority over the dead. He has authority over all. He can speak a word, and one that was dead could receive life. Now, we learn from this another lesson, and I believe the spiritual lesson is very important for us to understand. You see, even though you and I today are physically still alive, we haven't passed away. The very fact that I am still sharing the word of God and you are listening and hearing that message prove that physically you and I are still alive physically, but to remind you that we are all by nature were born in sin. We have inherited the sin nature of Adam and Eve, and this sin nature is dead in trespasses and sin. This sin nature that we have simply means that we by nature are spiritually dead. So God wants to restore us to himself and to give us new life, spiritual life. And so Ephesians, Paul reminded the Ephesians in verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 2, he said to them, "You has he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." In other words, remember, you were dead. Verse 5 says, "Even when we were dead in sins," Ephesians 2:5, "he has quickened us, raised us," this is spiritually, "together with the Messiah, by grace are ye saved." Again and again, the apostle remind the believers, you and I, that we by nature are dead in trespasses and sins. We are spiritually dead. And that's why when we believe on the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, we receive, we have been raised, spiritually speaking, and become alive, restored to God. And we have spiritual life now as believers. Eliezer believed in the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, and he was alive spiritually as a child of God. But still his body, because of sickness, and because of sin, have returned to the ground from which God have created the body of the human race. And so now Eliezer was resurrected physically, and that body was reunited to his spirit and his soul, and Eliezer would be now restored to where he was before. But because it is appointed unto men once to die, ultimately everyone will die physically, awaiting the day of the final resurrection in the latter days. And so notice that. And I'm back to the Gospel of John and our chapter that is before us in John chapter 11. Beautiful a passage that we have before us. That when Yeshua cried with a loud voice, "Eliezer, come forth! Eliezer, come forth!" And sure we read in verse 44, "And he that was dead." Notice that? He that was dead. In other words, he that was physically dead. "He came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes." This teaching us, beloved friend, how one, because of the sin nature that we all have, Eliezer, just like you and I, and us, just like Eliezer, just like Lazarus, these grave clothes represent the fact that the natural man, the physical man, because of our sin nature, we will die. As the Lord says, "Dying you shall die." He said this to Adam in Genesis chapter 3, "Because you have done that, you shall die. The body will return to the ground, to the dust." But here we see the Lord of life, the resurrection and the life, Yeshua HaMashiach. He raised Eliezer from the dead, and he came forth. Yet he was bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, "Loose him and let him go." These are amazing lessons that we can learn here from these. They are spiritual lessons. You see, even though you and I are believers in the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, but because we are still in sin here in this world, we still have a sin nature. We have the nature that cannot sin. This is the divine nature because we have accepted the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. But we have the old nature, the Adamic nature that is still sinful. And that's represented here by the grave clothes. And as we live here on earth, We need to have this loosening up from these grave clothes. That's why the Apostle Paul teaching us these amazing spiritual lessons that he teaches in the letters that he wrote to the various assemblies in Asia Minor, where he wrote, for example, to the Colossians, he says in chapter 3, "If ye then be risen with the Messiah, with Christ, seek those things which are above, with Christ sitting at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things here on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with the Messiah in God." Colossians 3, verses 1, 2, and 3. You see what a spiritual lessons we learn here from the physical resurrection of Eliezer. We learn spiritual lessons. So he said to those Jewish individuals surrounding the family, surrounding the gravesite, visiting the family to comfort them, he's saying to them, "Loose him and let him go." You see, if Eliezer will be able to continue to go, he had to be loose out of his napkins and all that which the grave clothes which he had upon him. And he asked the Lord Jesus, Yeshua asked them to loose him and to let him go. This is so amazing. The miracle of the miracle happened there in Beit Onya. Everyone could observe what was going on. Here is this man, Yeshua from Nazareth, claiming to be equal with God. As he said in chapter 10, "I and my Father are one." He is the co-equal one with the Father and the Spirit and the Ruach. And here he is giving one word, "Eliezer, come forth." And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And then he asked the community to loose him and let him go. Imagine, no wonder, the importance of the resurrection. Of course, to remind you that Lazarus later on died, that was only a temporary resurrection that would verify the fact that Yeshua is indeed the Messiah, because he said of himself, "I am the bread of life," and he filled the multitude with bread. He says, "I am the light of the world." He gave light to many who trusted in him. The blind men receive his sight. He says, "I am the good shepherd," and he shepherded the sheep. He cared for the flock. He cared for those that belonged to him. That's why he said, "I am the good shepherd." He says, "I am the door," and he opened the door to those who needed deliverance. And here he says, "I am the resurrection and the life," and he raised the dead. The blind men see and the lame men walk in Yeshua's name. The dead are raised. Captives are set free. It is in Yeshua, in Jesus' name. He is the Mashiach. He is the anointed one. He is the one that have all authority had been given unto him. And so he said to them, "Loose him and let him go." And you notice what we read beautiful in the next verse? Then many of the Jews, again, HaYehudim, to remind you once again, that over 71 times the name Yehudim, Jews, is mentioned in the Gospel of John, more than any other gospel. And why? Because most of the time the reference has to do with the Jewish leaders. And you can see that oftentimes with the conflict that he had with the Jewish leaders, some of them also came to believe on him, like one of the Jewish leaders who was Nicodemus. So many believe on him. But you see, he wanted them to believe on him not only because of the miracles. He knows the hearts. So while verse 45 we read, Many of the Jews which came to Miriam and had seen the things which Jesus did believe on him. Again, the Lord Jesus knows the hearts. He knows who believes on him only because of miracles. And he also knows who believes on him because they understood that he was the one that promised Messiah. He was the one that Isaiah spoke about, the fact that he would come in the fullness of the time to pay for the sin of the nation of Israel and all the nations of the world. So it is important not only to believe on him because of the miracle, but to believe in him because of who he is. Is he the Messiah? Is he whom he claimed to be? Not only because of miracles. Wonderful to have such a miracle of raising the dead. What would you do if you had a family member that had passed away and Yeshua the Messiah would have been there to come and say to your family member, come forth. And you and others will see the man that was already dead for 4 days or the woman that was already dead for 4 days coming forth in resurrection. You would be at awe. That's exactly what happened, but to understand and to grasp that he's much more than a miracle man, that he's God, that he's the Son of God, that he's the Mashiach, that he's the Anointed One. And that's what Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, wants from all of us. To remind you that in the second chapter of the Gospel of John, which we have already covered, we read that he made miracles there as well. In Cana of Galilee, he turned the water into wine. And then in the temple, he have done many, many miracles. So we read that many in the Feast of Passover in the city of Jerusalem, in John 2, verse 23, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he have done, which he did. But Yeshua did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needeth not that they should testify of men, for he knew what was in men. And you know, beloved friend, dear brothers and sisters, he knows your heart, he knows my heart. It is amazing to see miracles that he have done. Water change into wine. 5 loaves and 2 fishes change into multitude of baskets and bushels of bread and fish. A blind man can receive sight and coming seeing. A man that could not walk now can walk? It's a miracle. Who would not want to see something like that happen? But to believe on him because only that he is a miracle man will never bring us into receiving forgiveness of sins. And that's the reason why Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, came to this world, to pay for our sins and to show the evidence that he was indeed the Holy One, the undefiled one, the separate from sinners one, the one that was sinless, the Mashiach himself. And that's what he wants all to recognize. And I hope today that every one of us that listen to this message can say in our own hearts, yes, Yeshua made many, many miracles for which we are very thankful, but the greatest miracle is the miracle of salvation. When a sinner that deserve to be punished, turn to God and being loosed spiritually and being able to continue on to go for the Lord spiritually. Loose him and let him go. And while for Eliezer it was physically because he was already a child of God, he believed on the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. But here for us today, the lesson is the spiritual lesson. We need to be loosed from our spiritual deadness, and we need to be awakened spiritually, and we can only receive that spiritual resurrection is when we have trusted in the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, as our Lord and our Savior, the true Redeemer of Israel, who came to redeem this world from sin. And so we read in the next verses, after they have loosed him and let him go, many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believe on him. And because the Lord knows their heart, he knows which of them believed only because of the miracles. And he also knows those that believe on him because of who he is, the resurrection and the life, the eternal Son of God. And to be like Martha and Mary, who said, Miriam said to him, Lord, I believe that thou art the Mashiach, the Son of God. This is verse 27 of our chapter of John, chapter 11. Now let's continue and see what happened here now. You see, when that happened, and many believe on him, according to verse 45 of John 11, some of them, verse 46, went to the Pharisees, to the Purushim, to the scribes and the Pharisees, the spiritual leaders of Israel, and they told them the things that Yeshua have done. Well, what would you do if you see a man that was dead raised? You would be at awe. How is it possible? And he will share it with everyone. You know what I've seen today? Eliezer was for 4 days dead. And I've seen him with my own eyes. And I've heard the words of Yeshua, who says, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. You would be at awe. I would be at awe. So they told everyone. They went even, they told it to the leaders of Israel, to the Pharisees, and now you would think that they would accept him. But my dear friend, I want you to understand that it was already foretold 750 years before the Messiah came by the prophet Isaiah, who said, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord had been revealed? And the fact that the Messiah will be rejected and despised, it was already foretold by Isaiah, verse 3 of Isaiah 53. He is despised and rejected of men. Now, he was rejected 2,000 years ago by our people of Israel, and he is still rejected today by the nations of the world. He is still despised and rejected today by the whole world. And it is a group that he have saved, believers, true, sincere believers, that he opened our eyes, that we have accepted him. But he is still today despised and rejected by the human race in this world. As Isaiah said, he was in the world and the world knew him not. He came unto his own and his own received him not. We live now for these some 2,000 years of man's rejection of the Messiahship of our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. How sad. How sad. And God desire for man to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth and recognize that he, she, all of us have sinned before God and we need forgiveness of sin. That's the reason why the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, came to this world. And so, sadly, the religious leaders, we read in verse 47 and 48, then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and our nation. What shall we do? What do we? They said among themselves in the council. They noticed that the Lord Yeshua made many miracles. They notice that if all men will see what he does, and if they will let him continue on, that all men will believe on him. And they also understood that the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. In other words, they wanted to have a place and a nation, but my dear friend, they did not understand that the only way for Israel to be as a nation is under God, because God set it in this way. God have chosen Israel to be a nation under him. God had promised that he will bring the Messiah in order to pay for the sin of this world, of the nation of Israel and of the nations of the world. This world belonged to God. And there will never be a blessing in this world until men will turn to God. There is no other solution for the sin problem here in this world. What shall we do, they said. For this man does so many miracles. If we will let him alone, all men will believe on him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and also our nation. And you know, no one can take away the nation of Israel from the plan and program of God, because God designed it for Israel to be his nation, the chosen people. But Israel need to repent and turn to him and accept the Messiah. For us today, as believers in the Lord Jesus, the body of Christ, the body of Messiah, belong to the Messiah, to Christ. No one will be able to destroy the church. The gates of Hades shall not prevail against the assembly, the ecclesia, but the ecclesia must turn to the Lord. The called out ones must to turn to him and live for him.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m., at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.